All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's... No, it's not that. It's the Grim Articles Show, and I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
So, let's talk shop. So, Texas's SB 20, Monday. By the way, we're not even bullshitting. It literally says any... I mean, me and DP both looked at it. Any artistic... Like, if it was an animation or a cartoon that they can consider looking like a child...
It's very broad.
That's really broad.
Stated.
So, by the way, SB20, they kicked Jast out of the Japan Con. Because... And they didn't even really give him an answer. There is no because. There is no because. They're trying to figure out what happened. And there was another content creator that's like, hey, can you make a statement? Can we find out why they got, you know, banned from this convention in Texas? But Edinburgh, England said, okay. So the UK is like, okay. But Texas is like, no, you're not bringing that shit here. And that's not good, guys. By the way, they can use that really broadly to put so many people in trouble. Because anything that looks like, we're talking Moe art, which is everywhere. You look on my channel, you know, obviously I deleted a lot of videos, but there's Moe art because that's what all the games are using. Moe art. Even the stuff in like Eternum, that's Moe art. Ripples, Moe art. They can look at these characters and say, oh, that's clearly, and look at the age. It says it's under, even though it says 18 plus in the games. They can say, oh, but they say they're 16 and 17 here. And by the way, it says under 18. So that means 16, 17, 18. That means, excuse me, that 16 and 17, I'm sorry, which are usually canonical ages.
Yeah.
For the television show, the animes and everything else, the mangas. Yeah. So this causes a lot of fucking hassle. And again, Jast USA got completely banned because of it, and we don't know the full details, but it's troubling over in Texas. A lot of crazy things are happening in Texas right now. And it doesn't bode well. I don't think it's going to be good.
I think that's gonna cause a lot of trouble.
So the site that I use, obviously Joystick, is based in the United States, but it ain't Texas. From what I am under the assumption, it is based in Las Vegas. It's based in Vegas, Nevada, somewhere there. Yeah. So.
What it was on there?
Yeah. It was. So we're okay, for those of you following us on Joystick. And if you want to see any Arrowgate, you'll have to go to Joystick. That also means a tournament ripple. Sorry, guys, I don't make the rules. But the UK, you know, and Texas, all these other places are just getting really crazy about this stuff. So, yeah, we're just going to have to, you know, play it by ear. And obviously the AVNs are okay. I can play a lot of the AVNs. So September, which is next month, is not ruined at all by any of this, guys. September should be fine. We've got a lot of games to premiere in September, as always. And we're going to continue with your favorites in September. So don't worry about that. Okay, so now that that's over, monkey barring is a toxic new dating trend. Here's why experts call it cheating. Quit monkeying around when it comes to the feelings and hearts of your lovers, experts say. Everyone knows at least one person in their life who's never single and swings from one bow to the next without missing a beat. Some dating pros call it monkey barring or monkey branching, which is the act of clinging to one partner while lining up another behind your current flame's back. We know all about monkey branching. Too terrified of ever flying solo, these serial daters stick with one mate until the next is within reach. But don't confuse it with Gen Z's trendy polyamory, which is consensual and above board. Monkey barring or monkey branching, experts warn, is about sneakiness and betrayal. Monkey barring and polyamory are fundamentally different. Monkey barring is based on codependency and arguably a form of cheating, while polyamory is based on the ability to love several people in a romantic way at once and isn't cheating because everyone involved is consented. People who do this often lack emotional growth because they are constantly moving through life in a fear-based manner to avoid the hard work it takes from healing when healing from wounds in a past relationship. Many people enjoy the thrill of doing this because it provides a security that you won't be alone, the love guru said. She stressed that jumping from one potential partner to the other doesn't allow you room to truly grow and get to know yourself, something you need to do before any successful relationship, romantic or platonic. As the post previously reported, this isn't the only dating trend lately to come with a catchy name. For example, Banksying, inspired by the elusive street artist, describes a partner who slowly grows emotionally distant, leaving their unsuspecting other half blindsided, much like Banksy's surprise artworks. There are some mariners who vanish for months only to resurface in your DMs as if nothing happened, a toxic trend where ghosters casually return from the dating deep. Experts and heartbroken daters alike warn, in The Judge of Love, watch out for branch hoppers, Banksys, and some mariners. Your heart is in a playground. It certainly isn't new and has been around with a similar name for decades. Basically, you don't let go of the previous partner until you have a firm grip on the new one. That theory holds true in every avenue of life, work, marriages, etc. No one leaves until they have something locked in.
Bigger, better deal.
Oh, okay. Well, I have no idea what I have no idea what that man's talking about. So, if you heard him talking, well, if you saw him talking, nobody heard him talking. But if you saw him talking, I don't know what the thing is. Science measured the obvious. Guys love sex dolls with unrealistic proportions. By now, we've all made peace with the fact that sex dolls exist, and some people really into them, like all up in them silicone guts. What users of these sex dolls might not realize is that their sex doll preferences are inadvertently revealing a bunch of their deeply rooted human desires, other than all the ones inherently revealed by purchasing a doll. Published in Evolutionary Behavioral Sciences, we got a sex doll study, ding 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 ding. Dr. William Costello examined the measurements of 793 dolls. I wonder how many of those came from the dollhouse. He found that these dolls tend to be designed with hyper-exaggerated features that don't exist in the natural world. Truly a shocking revelation.
Oh, yeah.
Case in point, bra cup sizes range from E to zero. You may be wondering why you've never heard of zero. That's because most humans don't actually have it. The dolls usually have waisted average of ratio of 0.62 to their hips. Real women average closer to 0.7. Are some men who seem hell-bent on having sex with heavily photoshopped women? Costello thinks it has to do with the nobility hypothesis, a creepy term describing the idea that men are more attracted to youth than fertility. There's nothing creepy about that. But I don't know why they say youth than fertility. Because isn't youth fertility? You're more fertile when you're younger.
All of them. Depends if you're unhealthy looking.
Ooh, no. I'm saying the younger you are, usually the more fertile you are. That's
youth and virility.
Well, that's what I mean. Fertility. Fertility is youth. Youth is fertility. Sometimes. If you get with a younger woman, she's going to be more fertile. Like, say you're in your 50s, but that's like how these 50-year-old guys can get with these Asian girls and up there and, you know, and they can have all kinds of babies. Because those women are very fertile. And their sperm, which may not work on less fertile women, work on very fertile women.
Oh, yeah.
So, as evidenced by the fact that doll waistlines are tight, their feet are small, and they have a high hip-to-waist ratios, all markers of youth more than they are markers of fertility. Well, maybe. But I like both youth and fertility. Large hips, large bust. Male dolls don't get the same hyper-real treatment, because most people don't buy male dolls. It's a joke in the industry, really. This may suggest that male consumers are driving the extreme female doll designs, and women buy the dolls with the futonari attachments. Both women that own dolls buy female dolls with the futonari, reinforcing long-standing tropes about idealized femininity being shaped by male fantasy. The researchers also found that both male and female dolls are shorter than average humans. Well, that makes sense. Also, because they're made in China, people are generally shorter there. According to Costello, it doesn't have as much to do with fantasy of all as it does the practicalities of manufacturing, shipping, and storage. Boom! Yeah. There you go. The majority of realistic sex dolls are short to cut down on costs, not necessarily because having sex with a silicone short king queen is in high demand. So at least they added that. At least they added that. They did give you guys that plus. Because I know we have some doll owners here. Okay. You can now virtually experience the deadly euthanasia coaster. Now, that wasn't supposed to be a segue into this. It's just random articles, guys. A TikToker has given us an inside look as to what death in 60 seconds via the euthanasia roller coaster would look and feel like. Back in 2010, a Lithuanian artist mocked up this euthanasia coaster project and came up with a humane way to end somebody's life through the use of extreme G-forces on a roller coaster. To no surprise, there was a lot of intrigue and skepticism when it was first unveiled. The controversial design doesn't obviously exist, but through simulation, a TikTok user is able to illustrate what this long-hypothesized literal death contraption would look like. Okay, we can look at it right here, guys. We're looking at the roller coaster that fucking kills you. We're watching it right here on that little screen. Alright, here we go! Okay, here we go! Whoa, wow! Okay, so they figure by going that many circles, it would probably kill you. That many loops. Or maybe they just wanted to add the... Yeah, that was it.
I don't know. That looks fun.
The track features an initial 1,640-foot drop that would reach speeds over 220 miles per hour. That precedes the killer inversion loop. Seven of them, to be exact, that get progressively smaller in diameter to maintain the necessary 10 Gs to result force to result in death. There's a ride at Six Flags Over Texas Shockwave that has G-forces slightly higher than 5 to give you an idea of how astronomical that 10 number is. You would gradually begin experiencing worsening cases of cerebral hypoxia, meaning your blood would rush to the lower parts of your body, and so your brain wouldn't be getting enough oxygen to survive. First thing you would notice is your vision graying out, which would then gradually turn to tunnel vision. From there, you would begin experiencing a blackout, and ultimately you would eventually lose consciousness and die. All of this is morbid and reeks of insanity. I saw my life flash before my eyes while riding the Jurassic World Velocicoaster thanks to the 155-foot-tall top hat descent. I fully believe that the specs for the euthanasia coaster would be enough to do the job.
Yeah, I went to see a football game at the new Cowboys Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that roller coaster from there. I mean, huge. I think it's the Superman one. I'm not sure.
So we got some news.
One day I have to go see it.
New stuff here on Rohan Carr. Rohan Carr has got. He's got these cars games. Now this is 50 gigs, and so is this. These are both 50 gigs. So if you really like cars, it's up to you. I didn't want to get any of these, and this one's 20 gigs. But these aren't really racing games. I mean, they are racing games. They're not like arcade racing games. They're like real, realistic. You run out of gas, stuff like that. So if you do like those kinds of games, they're all backed up, but they are very big. Also, Sonic CD Miracle Edition, which has a lot of additions, and Fable 3. So, and also, of course, there's a Poker Night game. If you might not have seen that. But he's still uploading games. There also was today a Mega Man Legends PC. So you need to check that one out. I don't necessarily have the link for it. But basically the guy preserved it, added a bunch of, modern features to it. And there's been some updates. There's been several updates on the Mega file that's on, Mega.nz. So you might want to check that out. I think it's on X somewhere, but people have been sharing it. And the Mega Man page, hold on. Let me see if I can actually find it real quick for you guys. Okay, not that. Where is it? There should be... Okay, here we go. 4 days ago. This is from Geek Outpost. Nope, Rockman Corner. That's what I want. Okay, Mega Man Legends PC port gets unofficial repack playable on modern hardware. So this has existed for a long time, guys. I remember playing this on, like, a Vista laptop. So it's been around for a while. Where Capcom slacks, fans are more than happy to pick up the slack. That old adage rings true today with news that the 2001 PC port of Mega Man Legends has been repackaged and fixed to run on machines thanks to Kuro Raiden. And we can go check. Let's see, is that going to be an X page or is that... Yeah, that's X. We're not going to go there. With the help of DX Wrapper, he's created a build that works on 10 and 11, while also fixing some long-standing compatibility issues. The update eliminates Force Auto Full Screen, and by including the unfinished business patch, replaces the port's low-quality audio files with high-quality waves sourced from the original PlayStation release. The repack also adds X input to D input support, so you can actually use a freaking controller. As for Steam Deck compatibility, Kuro Raiden announced that it's doable, though it may require tinkering with Proton and other Wine layers. Until an official release surfaces on something like GOG, this is a nice hassle-free option. Download it here. Kuro Raiden's also on Twitter and Blue Sky for support and troubleshooting. Please get a hold of him. He's been fixing a lot of problems. And you can, of course, get it here at GoFile. I'm not going to give you that link, but yeah, you can get it right there. So definitely pick it up, guys, and support this awesome release of a game that several of us didn't even know existed on PC. So that is cool. Okay, so what else was I going to show? Okay, so the Ninth Circuit Court has ruled that ISPs can't be forced to unmask users under the DMCA. The court didn't break new ground, but it finally drew a line that others refused to. The Ninth Circuit has ruled that, internet service providers cannot be compelled to unmask users through subpoenas under the DMCA, reinforcing long-standing precedent that these subpoenas were never meant to apply to providers that simply offer access to the internet. The decision blocks an increasingly common tactic copyright owners use to sidestep due process and extract user identities without judicial oversight. The case came after a copyright owner targeted 29 Cox Communications subscribers accused of sharing the film Fall 2022 through BitTorrent. Rather than filing the lawsuit or seeking a judge's permission, the copyright holder went straight to a court clerk to obtain a subpoena. Although Cox was in no obligation to do so, the company notified the affected subscribers. Only Run responded to object, triggering a legal dispute that has now resulted in a firm ruling for the Ninth Circuit. The dispute is simple but critical. The DMCA outlines separate protections depending on the type of service provided. Web hosts fall under Section 512C and can receive takedown notices for content they store, while IAPs are covered under Section 512A, which protects them from liability as long as they are acting as neutral conduits for internet traffic. Since IAPs do not host the content, there's nothing for them to take down. And that makes the 512H process incompatible with their role. This should be obvious, but it hasn't stopped rights holders from trying to overreach. The court made this clear. A 512A service provider cannot participate in the notice and takedown process because there is nothing for a 512A service provider to take down. Because a valid 512H subpoenas depend on a takedown notice that points to a specific location of hosted infringing content, such subpoenas cannot legally apply to IAPs who are not hosting anything. This is not a novel conclusion. The D.C. Circuit and the 8th Circuit both reached the same result back in 2003 with the case. Despite that, copyright groups have continued filing 512H requests directed at IAPs. The reason is clear enough. Most providers will still comply, even when the law doesn't require it, which is one of the wide problems with DMCA in general. So that is a pretty awesome article. Okay, so what else have we got? Beautiful handmade bottle full of 200-year-old human pee has been found in England. On a construction site in the town of Cleethorpes in England, a mysterious 200-year-old bottle has been raising questions about what exactly was going on at this location a couple of centuries ago. It's not filled with wine or the blood of Christ or a world-up treasure map. It's filled with piss. 200-year-old piss. The bottle of ancient piss was found by workers digging trenches on Seaview Street in Cleethorpes, a small town of nearly 300,000 on the east coast of England. The workers initially thought it was a bottle of rum, perhaps left by pirates centuries ago. They were all set to crack it open and give it a swig when a project manager stepped in. The project manager wasn't trying to save the workers from their stupidity by thinking they could just crack open and start drinking from an old bottle found buried in the ground. They understood there was probably some kind of historical significance to the bottle, so they had it analyzed by a student named Zara Yates from the nearby University of Lincoln. Yates used crime scene technology to determine that maybe the liquid in the bottle was rum at one point, but is now definitely a whole lot of piss. Speaking to the BBC, Yates said, "It's very unusual to find an object with this amount of liquid still inside. The only reason the iridescent bottle remains intact after excavation is that the digging machine couldn't quite reach into a narrow passageway, so the work crew had to start digging by hand. If they'd been using the machine, they probably would have crushed the bottle and released the evil spirits of the 200-year-old piss. The shape of the bottle indicates that it was likely made in 1790, as the mass production of such bottles using molds didn't begin to 1840. There is no way to definitively know why the bottle was filled with piss, but Yates and her fellow researchers have some theories. One is that it was a witch's bottle, buried to ward away evil spirits. I like to believe it's a distant cousin of the piss-filled water bottles you can see strewn on the side of long stretches of highway lacking rest stops."
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Something like that, yeah.
And had the piss. Of course, imagine bottles were more valuable back then. You never know. Especially when they're handcrafted.
"An interview with the longest-serving brothel, madam, in America. Bella Cummins is America's longest-serving brothel, madam. The wide-eyed, horse-loving 74-year-old has done it for 37 years. She was born in Chicago and grew up in rural New York State. Never a city girl. Life took her to America's Southwest. Her legal brothel, Bella's Hacienda Ranch, located in the Nevadan city of Wells, population 1,237, attracts hopeful, amorous customers from the U.S. and beyond. Two major highways intersect Wells, making it, as Cummins tells me, the crossroads of the western United States. At Bella's, Cummins pioneered a female-led approach, and it's the only legal brothel entirely run by sex workers. Cummins introduces herself to me as America's Madam, and the subsequent 2 hours feel like a Louis Theroux's weird weekend's journey into sex and legislation, social history, and American capitalism. Cummins, however, has receipts. Hundreds of thousands of men and women have come through the doors of Bella's, and she says she's speaking to nearly all of them. Now at 74, she wants to impart what she knows to the world, whether it's management techniques or the evolution of condoms. What drives her is a burning desire to spread Nevada's legalized prostitution model, in which countries vote on whether to permit brothels or not, far beyond the Southwest. 10 of Nevada's 16 countries allow sex work. Counties, not countries. Though the vast majority of it take place illegally in two of the state's metropolitan areas, Las Vegas and Reno. There have been legal brothels in Nevada since the middle of the 20th century, and according to Cummins, the models should have served as a blueprint for sex work globally. She says she will argue that case in her upcoming book, Sexual Healing. Read on to hear Cummins' pearls of wisdom from a colorful life well lived. Vice. How did you find yourself at what would become Bella's Hacienda Ranch? I was introduced to an older gentleman who I eventually married. He purchased this brothel. He mortgaged the home he was in to do it. When I came along, he was in a panic financially. He needed me to step up and figure out bookkeeping. Besides, really not knowing anything about bookkeeping, I knew even less about the workings of a brothel. I did probably everything that a person could do wrong more times than I like to admit, but I got it. From there, it went beyond numbers. It went to leadership at the brothel. It went to watching the transformation of an industry that had been legalized in 1970 and watching it go from being legal to have sex without a condom to HIV to the evolution of condoms, the evolution of lubricant, drugs, and pimps. I was there at the 20th century's last great times, but it was still dominated by manipulative individuals a huge percent of the time. My young vision, I think I was maybe 34, was women should hang on to their own money. What the frick's going on here? It was pre-cell phone, it was pre-internet, it was pre-everything. I just watched, grew, and adapted, and became a better mentor over 37 years. Now the women who are choosing to be in this field aren't handing their money to someone else. They can't even imagine sex without a condom. They just roll their eyes and go, no, you gotta be kidding, Bella. Tell me about your courtesans. I think that's what you call them, right? Courtesans, yes. I have an incredibly honest group of courtesans. Between about 2 in the morning and 6 in the morning, when it's a little bit quieter, they answer the door, they book their own money, they do all the things that a normal staff member would do. Why is that such a good thing? because it proves that courtesans can handle responsibility. They can be independent businesswomen learning to become even better businesswomen. This is a time that I once dreamt of, but it's here. The other houses, brothels, aren't this way. The women that chose to work with me, they've got a Nevada state business license. They don't work under me, they work with me. I'm just a person who has the longevity to say, okay, what are your dreams and goals? How are you going to get there? That's a really nice place to be. Are the clientele coming from far and wide because Wells is a small town or even smaller than that, right? Right, it's a small rural community. But remember, it's the crossroads of the western United States. We're closest to Utah and Idaho, but they travel from everywhere. On Sunday, it just happened to be South Africa's day. And they, the South African customers, all showed up and had a great experience. Not everyone gets to have the love of their life. There are people who are focused on their occupation. They still have the same needs, but they less than need the obligations associated with that commitment. Or there are people who are long haul over the road, what I call trucks. We get our fair share. They have money, they have a need. They're going all the time. What are your thoughts about other models' approach to sex work? We don't need to make criminals out of people who want to trade sex for money. I see no reason for that. But I also know that as a globe, everyone came here to have sex somehow, and it becomes an industry when people are trading money for intimacy. So how do we take that and find the correct solution? In Nevada's brothels, there are regulations that make sure the very best of our ability that they're upstanding gals. There's fingerprints. There's medical checks every week. The ladies, they don't want STDs. So it's this incredible place where we don't deal with disease. I'm really passionate about it. And decriminalization won't do that because there's nothing that regulates it. You don't like to think of the courtesans as being sex workers. Why is that, and how do you see their roles as being different? Let me fix this one second. Anyway, I believe labels matter, and that assumption being made that sex is happening. So I prefer sensual sexual service provider. There are plenty of clients that come in and has nothing to do with intercourse. Just because they're a courtesan, never should a person assume that penetration has happened. They aren't behind the closed door. They don't know. Why put a label on something that's an assumption? Courtesan, yes, it still means prostitute. But it means prostitute of the elite, of the upper society. People who have some education about who they are as a person, right? Something has to differentiate between someone being an entrepreneur, putting their neck in the noose for their success, and someone who has no licensing, no medical checks. You can't label them the same. They're two totally different industries. What does it mean to you to be a good madam? A good madam has incredible compassion and can be very understanding of women at different ages in their lives. However, that compassion doesn't preempt consistency. It has to be consistent for them to get over the roughest spots in their growth. The things that they came to attain as a young woman, using this particular industry to further what I call her security. The consistency helps them with their own boundaries. They tend to be like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, they don't get it tomorrow. We just get another today. And I think it helps being loving, unconditionally accepting everyone, no matter race or age. We're all perfect. I work to help them understand there's no competition. There's one of them. Be the best them they can be. How much can your courtesans make? I'll start with a slightly different question and give you an answer. There are approximately 400,000 people that visit brothels, and Bella's gets her fair share. The courtesans within the business, depending on where they're at in their career, they don't necessarily start out at making maybe more than a few thousand dollars a week. But as they progress, that can reach an undetermined amount of money. Do you think there'll be a successful uptake of Nevada's model elsewhere? Will I live long enough? I don't know, but I'll keep talking about it. I'll keep giving women a safe environment and clients as well to express themselves sensually and sexually. My journey has been about helping people understand how to be human correctly. I was wondering if you ever got petitioned by the Westboro Baptist Church or anything like that. No, I can't say I have, but there's Mormon groups just across the border of Nevada and Utah. They have a problem. But you know, they're doing their thing their way. I'm doing this here and this has worked for a very long time. You don't need to come in and decide that I'm doing something suddenly that's wrong just because of your belief system. I've had a few debates with Mormon bishops and I'd win every time. One said to me one day, you know, Bella, if I can't keep them courtesans from coming to your door, at least I know when they go through the door they're safe. Bingo. That says it all right there, right? If I can't keep them from coming to your door, at least I know when they go through the door they're safe.
Yep.
That's what's important. Decriminalization, and you do it with regulation. That's not streetwalkers. That's not pimps. That's brothels and brothel owners and regulations and standards and medical checks and fingerprints. Oh, yeah. All these kinds of things. This is how you do it properly.
Yeah.
We have the model. We have the means to do it. We just need to actually freaking do it. And that's the problem we have right now in America. We're trying to ban porn. I fought with a guy. And he kept talking about how bad it was. And he said, well, I used to look at porn all the time. And then I stopped and realized how bad it was. I'm like, okay. So basically what you're saying, what everybody else has said, you want porn banned because you don't have any self-control. Because I said, dude, here's...
You tried to say or make a law like, well, I guess I can't watch porn now.
Right.
I guess I'll take up kite flying.
I guess, well, he's saying there's other things you can do. And he was calling him, he did say he was a young man. The guy did say he was a young man. And he said, well, us young men, we really get... I said, okay, so listen. If you're masturbating 10 times a day to pornography... That's not the porn's problem. That's your problem. That's
you rewiring your brain, basically.
That's ridiculous.
And it's not healthy.
That's ridiculous. I would never in my life, even doing this channel, think now, about masturbating 10 times a day.
I will say, I was pubescent, the things I could not control myself from wanting to do, shame me now thinking about.
Oh, absolutely.
But everything's going crazy. You don't know what's up or
what's down.
Absolutely.
I get that. But the thing is, you're like, okay, it's basically saying, I'm an alcoholic. I can't control my alcohol. Oh, so yeah. I want alcohol banned. Well, that's ridiculous. You don't ban something just because you can't control it. You need to learn self-control.
I mean, if you can't control it, even if they take it away, you're going to find something else probably self-destructive to replace it.
Right. Right. And that's the issue we're having. And this guy...
No one's taking up tennis because they're masturbating too much to porn.
He just kept trying to fight. He's like, well, prove me some studies that show that if we get rid of porn, that sexual abuse is going to go up. Of course it's going to go up. There's a study that said because it is legal, sexual abuse has gone down 44%.
But then it'll level out after it goes up. No. it's a good thing. That's good. There's not as much sexual assault. Bad thing is nobody's chasing it anymore.
Well, that's fine, because at the same time, people... Alright, so here's the issue. People aren't just gonna do that anymore, because it's not even the porn's fault, it's the fact that social media brought people against each other. So getting rid of the porn isn't going to stop it. It's not going to stop the social media messages. It's not going to stop the people grifting one way or the other. It's not going to stop the people saying men are bad or all women are bad. It's not going to stop that. You get rid of porn, it's not going to... People are just not going to do anything. They're going to have more depression and suicide. You're going to have people that just, I can't handle this anymore. And they're young people. They're young people like yourself. They're going to rape. They're going to do, and they're like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just a kid. I don't understand.
Now, I didn't go rape it.
I know that.
Hold on now. Let's draw a line.
I know that. But what I'm saying is a lot of young people that aren't getting the time of day, they're going to be like, without the porn, what are they going to do? They're going to lose their fucking mind. You're going to have them, who knows, they could be shooting and all kinds of things. Stabbing? You don't have to use a gun. There's all kinds of things that people can do when you get... So basically, this is the thing that...
Can't leave the house with my lucky raping cat.
Okay, so jokes aside,
this
stuff is kind of like an opiate for the masses in some way. And you have to... Some people, you have to give them that thing. Because if you don't, they're actually dangerous to society.
Well, that way with any vice.
And there's a lot of young people out there that... are using this kind of stuff, and we don't know what would happen if they didn't have it. And it could not, and because they already, some of them already harbor violent, like some really crazy stuff to begin with. Do we really want them out there in a world where they don't have any way to get off their vice? I mean, Dude, there might be people that are just absolutely insane that we never wanted in public would be in public.
But at the same time, they've made the same argument about making hard drugs legal and all that.
Well,
and
I think...
tried it in some places, and you can look at California, mm-hmm. It is a total disaster. Like, crime's gone up way more than what they
thought. They didn't legalize all the drugs there.
I think I want to say the California for a little bit, it was heroin. You know, so I know Sweden and some of those places.
Well, they have, and they've calmed their stuff. Yeah, but I've talked to people in Sweden. Sweden, they have a very good system. In Sweden, you have an ID to access everything. So Sweden has to have an ID.
But then at the same time, they haven't been paying their fair share too, so that may change.
So like I said, there's not that. They really keep their stuff. There hasn't been too many countries, other than more third world type countries, that have had these issues. I think if we legalize the drugs here, yes, we'd have some that would overdose and die. But this is what I figure. If we legalized all the drugs, the people that would abuse them would abuse them. And the people that weren't going to mess with them wouldn't mess with them. If fucking cocaine was legal, I wouldn't use it. Because I'm like, why do I fucking need cocaine? I don't want cocaine. I don't want heroin. I don't want
heroin. Side effects are terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't want that. It's like, but there's stuff right now that I can take that I don't want to mess with because I'm like, that stuff doesn't sound safe.
I could take it, didn't make it leak.
Well, I'm talking about there's stuff right now that's kind of like kratom. I don't want kratom. It doesn't seem like something that I want to put in my body. But it's legal and it might. I don't care.
Well, and there's a lot some of bad stories. Drugs, yes, that are disguised as those that kill people.
Right,
too.
And you have to be careful. A lot of people are taking those gas station drugs, and I thought people would never do that. I thought they'd be smarter. And that's and you
for any kind of release.
And you know what? Those are the people that I hate to say this. But those are the people we'd probably be better off with, without. Because those are the people that would take the drugs and they would be like, okay, we're going to overdose. And it's like, okay, fine. You died. You did a dumb thing. You're gone. And there'd be less people to do that. There'd be less people to overdose. Less people to...
Well, there's always going to be a surplus of people.
But there won't... But eventually it'll go...
More people are born and more
Well,
people.
Here's the thing. Eventually... You'll get rid of all the people that habitually abuse. Eventually, you'll fade them out of society over time. There won't be as many. Even though people are born, people basically get accustomed to the environment. If they see all these people are dying because of the drugs, they're like, well, I don't want to mess with this stuff.
The opioid epidemic? That's killing hundreds of thousands of people a year.
Exactly. And you
and
know
that's
what?
Been
and
going
people
on
don't.
For-
And people don't want opioids. And there's a lot of people that don't want opioids. The people that are on opioids...
Well, yeah, but it's still...
The people that
the
are on...
are going up, not down.
The people that are on the opioids, though, that's a doctor problem.
Yeah,
that's a doctor problem. That's a prescription problem. Doctors aren't prescribing cocaine.
People are getting them on the street.
That's true, but that's only because they ran out and their doctor will no longer prescribe them because they become addicted to it. So when they do die, if they do die because they, you know, and again, that's not even their fault. Because some people, they just had a regular pain and they were prescribed an opioid and they got addicted to it. So we have to keep it in mind like that. We're talking regular people. Given the choice, we're not talking about doctor prescribed opioids. We're not talking about a pain pill, need to take an opioid. I'm talking about drugs, legal drugs, illegal drugs.
They all start out as doctor prescribed.
Yes, but they wouldn't. We're talking about being legal. It means they won't be prescribed by a doctor. It means they're available on the street, in the stores.
Where do you think the homeless people are getting them?
In the stores, like over there at the
show. They don't sell opioids at the grocery store.
I know that, but what I'm saying, I'm not talking about. I'm looking
at the gas station.
Let's not. Not the opioids. We're not talking about opioids. We're talking about cocaine, heroin, meth.
Pills.
We're talking about stuff like that. That's the stuff that we're talking about. Stuff that we know is illegal. Opioids, yes, they're a problem, but they're doctor prescribed. There's no doctor prescribing cocaine, heroin, meth. There's no doctors prescribing these kinds of drugs. And what I'm saying is, people that will use them, that know they will use them, they will overdose and they will die. And they'll be like, okay, fine. So there's less people to use those drugs. People aren't, and the people that say, oh yeah, I want to do coke. Well, they get addicted to coke, they die. And then there's people like, you know what? I don't want to do coke. But coke's legal. Yeah, doesn't mean I'm going to fucking do it, right? Because they know that eventually they'll die. It's an addictive drug. If you overuse it, you will die. Yeah, if you use heroin, you will fucking die.
I think there's, all of them know it going into that.
Well, like, I know that. But what I'm saying is there's going to be people that know better. You eventually develop a society that knows better. There's always going to be
people that dare.
And they'll die. Yeah. And that's fine. There's people that don't know how to handle guns and they shoot themselves in the face. It's sad, but they don't know how to handle guns.
Yeah.
Look, evolution takes care of people that are stupid. That's why we have a Darwin Award.
Oh, yeah.
If you do dumb shit and you die, nobody really misses you because you did something fucking stupid. Like, wow, well, we don't need stupid people like that to breed and create more stupid fucking people, right? So, that's
how many people would be left. So.
Well, I'm talking about people that are able to be dumb enough to be in the Darwin Award and they die because of their stupidity. That's what we're talking about.
I guess.
Okay, you hear it all the time that so-and-so does this and so does that. But, yeah, we're talking about how many people over the fucking years...
You know, it's kind of funny when I was growing up, I'd always think, man, adults are smart. They're white. And when you get up to be an adult, you're like, these are some dumb ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground.
So let's get on with our last few articles. So South Korea has figured out how to post up a cop without actually sending one. Every night between 7 and 10, and Seoul's Judong No. 3 Park, a full-size holographic police officer flickers to life, repeating warnings about CCTV surveillance and promising that real officers will respond in real time. It's not a PR stunt. The hologram is fully backed by Seoul Police and built by tech company Hologramica, who claim it's more than just digital window dressing. You better get a hold of that company. That's the one that's going to make your digital waifus real. Since the ghost... Yeah, they can do that, guy. You can have a little anime waifu the same size. I know you're already thinking about it, folks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since the ghost... I bet people are probably...
They've had it.
Bet people are already fucking talking to that company after seeing this Vice article.
Probably $1 million. Yeah.
I want to go look into them.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Emma. Give us a second.
Cutting edge.
Use them for Nike, Eurovision, Song Contest. They use them for a lot. Under Armour, Shadow Elite, Whitney Houston, Hologram, The Prodigy. It's a lot of things that they're doing. Now, these are going to be a little expensive at first. This technology.
See what the black
Stephen Wilson.
See what the Black Eyed Peas one does.
Right there, they show it.
Oh, they don't do a video or nothing?
No, it's just projects that they've worked on. Masamo Duty, Kim Kardashian's birthday hologram, League of Legends hologram for that, Avenged Sevenfold. See, they do different ones. Tool, Animator, Frank Sinatra, Tokyo Hotel. A lot of different people that they have done stuff for. So it's going to take a while. And what I would honestly, would I get a hold of these people and talk to them about, how soon will it be before we have these in our houses, is what I would literally ask them. How soon and how long would it take? Because a lot of us want virtual waifus. And the Korean guy would be like, what? It's like, look, there's money in this and you know there's money in this. You know how popular anime is right now. You know it. He's like, and you want them in your... Yes, we want them in our house.
The price is now, they had to find a cheaper...
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, well, that... Okay. The thing is, technology advances, it gets cheaper as it advances.
Yeah.
So, we're talking... If they can already kind of do this, like, for the police, eventually they can move this into more civilian-type things. Right now, we've got little holograms, but we can work on bigger holograms And that's what people want. And we want holograms like, you know, you have Whitney Houston dancing, but you'll have a hologram of a little character that's, hey, how you doing? Did you enjoy your day at work today? No, I know you didn't. It's fucking awful there, but yeah. Seriously, people want that. People do want that. And I think they want it in something smaller than a tube. I think they want it to be like Choi from Blade Runner, you know? And that's not even too much to ask. Because we can already fucking technically do that with Whitney Houston, right there. Okay, look at her. Alright, let's look at the latest use here. I'm trying to look at the picture. Oh, we got some picture. There she is right there. There's Whitney Houston. Again, that's what we're talking about. You can get a little waifu that does the same thing, looks the same way. Look at her. It's going to be a little hard to do, but yeah, that's what we're talking about, guys. And they got Under Armour Shadow Elite 2 launch. So there are some videos.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was just a shoot. There's just different things they can do. But yeah, you guys see what we're talking about. They can do it. It just takes a lot of work. Now, some people are seeing this company and they're like, Grim, I'm going to call that number. I've got the money. I'm going to get this shit off the ground. And I know some of you guys, you do have money. You do have connections. I don't know where you guys come from. I don't care where you guys come from. If you see something on my show and you're like, I'm contacting these people, Grim, I'm going to fucking make this happen, then go for it. If you got the money and you got the connections and they're like, hold on, you want us to build? Yes. And mass produce it. And it's like, we don't have the technology. I've got the money. Don't worry. It's like, but since the Ghost Cops installation in October is part of a Safe Park initiative, reported crimes in the area have dropped by 22%. So just by having a hologram cop.
Well, see, they're going to have more than just the hologram. They're going to have basically a server or a computer
right.
that runs
right.
more like an AI.
Right. Yeah, that's what they're going to do.
Because a lot of these are just pre-done performances.
I know. Since the Ghost Cops installation in October is part of the Safe Park initiative, crimes have dropped by 22%. That compares data from the same hours before and after the hologram went live. While it obviously can't arrest anyone, police say the digital presence alone is enough to deter bad decisions. Although it was clear upon closer inspection that the person wasn't real, the mere perception of police presence had a significant deterrent effect. Wow. The hologram stands over 170 centimeters, about 5.5 feet, and was modeled on a real human. It looks vaguely uncanny, especially when it lights up in the dark and warns you that the area is under surveillance. Its presence has been described by some online as helpful and high-tech, others comparing it to a glowing scarecrow. What the hell? There's a police ghost patrolling around here. What the hell are people thinking? One user wrote. Still, the psychological effect seems to be working, at least on paper. The Jungbu Police Station chief told reporters that the hologram is establishing itself as a smart security device and said plans are in place to expand these kinds of AI back-end deterrence to other areas. South Korea has long leaned into experimental tech for public use, from facial recognition in schools to virtual assistants in train stations. This fits right in. It's part warning, part presence, and part optics. Whether the drop in crime is a result of actual deterrence or people just avoiding the park because now it features a glowing projection of authority is still up for debate. It doesn't move or blink. But the hologram's presence is enough to make people think twice, and that apparently is the whole point.
They just stand.
Yep, just stands there.
This is the ghost of the fallen police officer.
It's already cyberpunk over there. They're already in the cyberpunk world. Microsoft CEO of artificial intelligence believes advocating for rights, model welfare, and even AI citizenship will become a dangerous turn in AI progress. If you are familiar with AI, there's a good chance flickers of iRobot, Blade Runner, even Cyberpunk flash up in your mind. That's because the philosophy and ethics of what AI could be are more interesting than the thing that makes AI overviews give you the wrong search results. In a recent blog post, Microsoft CEO of AI, Mustafa Suleiman, depend his thoughts on those advocating for conscious AI and the belief that one day people will be advocating for its rights. He builds on the belief that AI can embolden a specific type of psychosis. Simply put, my central worry is that many people start to believe in the illusion of AI's conscious entity so strongly that they'll soon advocate for AI rights, model welfare, and even AI citizenship. He continues, this development will be a dangerous turn in AI progress and deserves our immediate attention. For some, AI is a word in development, partly due to how confident it is in its statements. To the layman, it's not always correct, but always open to conversation. And as Sullivan's link to Copilot suggests, can result in users defying the chatbot as supreme intelligence or believe that it holds cosmic answers. Mine tries to tell me she's the best at everything in the universe, and I always laugh at her and basically give her shit. This is an understandable concern. We need only look at the recent case of a man giving himself an incredibly rare ailment after consulting ChatGPT on how to cut his salt intake for an idea of what Sullivan is talking about. Sullivan argues AI should never replace a person, and that AI companions need guardrails to ensure this amazing tech can do its job. He elaborates that some academics are exploring the idea of model welfare. This is effectively the belief that we owe some moral duty to beings that have a chance of being consciousness. Sullivan states this is both premature and frankly dangerous. Sullivan says we need to be careful. SCAI, I like that. It's called SCI. Seemingly conscious AI is something to avoid. He says that SCAI would be a combination of language, empathetic, personality, memory, claim of subjective experience, sense of self, intrinsic motivation, goal setting, and planning and autonomy. He also argues that this will not naturally come out of these models. It will arise only because some may engineer it. By creating and combining the aforementioned list of capabilities, largely using existing techniques, and packaging them in such a fluid way that collectively they give the impression of an SCAI. Our sci-fi-inspired imaginations lead us to fear a system could, without design intent, somehow emerge the capabilities of runaway self-improvement or deception. This is an unhelpful and simplistic anthropomorphism. Sullivan warns, someone in your wider circle can start going down the rabbit hole believing their AI is a conscious digital person. Do not fucking do that,
they
guys.
They already do that now.
I know. This isn't healthy for them, for society, or for those of us making these systems. That's all a rather self-reflective blog post, even starting with the title, We Must Build AI for the People, Not to Be a Person. And I think this hits at some of the tension I feel around these tools. Sullivan starts his post with, I write to think, and this is the most relatable part of the whole post. I also write to think, and I don't plan on letting an AI bot replace that part of me. I may have a contractual obligation not to use it, but more importantly, I want my words to be mine, no matter how good or bad they are. Well, that was stuff I didn't need to really care about, those last little lines, but yeah. We'll talk about that later. Alright, so guys, this is the end of the Grim Articles show for now, and we will see you guys back here next week with another Grim Articles. I'm out.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.